A new documentary looks at the people who helped transform Charlotte from a sleepy town into a financial center with skyscrapers and professional sports teams.
Just a few decades ago, Charlotte was very different from the place we know today. How have we become America's 17th largest city?
It's called Making Modern Charlotte, and it focuses on the 1960s through the early 2000s. Watching it, you get a sense of how many of those changes were a result of business leaders trying to boost the reputation of Charlotte. Mark Etheridge produced the documentary, which will air on PBS Charlotte tomorrow night. His career has included time as the managing editor of the Charlotte Observer and the publisher of the Charlotte Business Journal. For disclosure, he's also chairman of WFAE's board. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here.
So you got a chuckle from me when the documentary mentioned the vision that drove those who built Charlotte. That is, a Charlotte better than Atlanta without all the traffic. That is one way of putting it.
That was the mantra of the era.
So what's the larger sentiment behind that?
Charlotte was a place, as someone in the documentary said, that always seemed to have a chip on its shoulder. It didn't have the mountains. It didn't have the coast. It didn't have a big riverfront. It was at the crossroads of the Carolinas, but that's about it. Now, what it did have was no plantation-based aristocracy. It was populated by people who came from the Piedmont, people who knew what hard work was, and it came from the textile mills and farms. And in many ways, they had something to prove. Hugh McCall in the documentary talks about Charlotte as being like a city in a defeated nation. It wanted to put that behind it.
I knew what a city was supposed to look like, and Iowa surely didn't look that way. It was the most boring damn city I'd ever seen in my whole life. You couldn't buy a drink. They had more churches and bars. It was a remarkably boring town. So I realized that people were what made the cities great. And the main thing I wanted was people living in the center city.
Why was business so closely intertwined with so many of these civic decisions? The building of the Blumenthal, the expansion of the airport, for example.
Well, I think that there was an understanding, certainly about the airport, that the airport was this era's train depot. And if the train stopped in your town was likely to be something. And if it didn't, it wouldn't. And so John Belk, the mayor, at that time in the early 1970s, was a huge proponent of airport expansion. He also happened to be head of the Chamber of Commerce, and he also happened to be head of one of the area's biggest businesses, which was Belk's department stores. So this sort of interplay between civic leadership and corporate leadership was personified in the leaders both in business and in the city.
You mentioned John Belk, and certainly you hear a lot about the competition between Bank of America's Hugh McCall and First Union's Ed Crutchfield. Who were the others driving this change?
Bill Lee of Duke Power was very instrumental, as well as Rolf Neal, who was publisher of the Charlotte Observer. All of these people had an interest in Charlotte being bigger than it was. The banks in particular, and not just for the obvious sort of business reasons, which is bigger city, more business, but you couldn't recruit great people to a city that was lacking, that didn't have cultural resources, that didn't have a nightlife. And so it wasn't just, gee, if the place is bigger, we can get bigger. It's we can't get better unless the place is bigger.
And what kind of decisions did they make that they felt made this place better?
Well, one of the examples that the movie talks about is the symphony. And the symphony was failing in the 70s and 1980s. And the group of businessmen, including Ed Crutchfield and Hugh McCall and Rolf Neal and others, McCall says in the movie that none of them particularly cared about the symphony.
I heard that.
But they knew that a great town had to have a symphony, and by God, they were going to do whatever it took to make sure that we did. The banks were huge rivals. At the same time, they both recognized that in areas where they could cooperate, they could make Charlotte bigger and better than it was.
Was this change good for all of Charlotte's residents?
Well, I think one of the things that's very important to point out is this film is incomplete. It really deals with the business and civic leaders of that time, and only the most well-known ones. We devote a fair amount of attention to the airport and the leadership there, but it was also all the people in the communities, all the people on the West Side who understood what airport expansion could mean for them, good and bad. So there are many folks whose contributions are huge and are not recognized.
Now, former Charlotte Mayor Harvey Gantt noted this in the documentary.
It was contrary to the growth of a really great city that you could have a relatively small group of men make the most important economic decisions for the community. I thought that was not a good idea.
In particular, he noted that at one time when city council was all at large representation, most members belonged to the same church in Myers Park. And once he got in, they decided to change that to district representation. Was there something missed because there wasn't a more diverse group of people making decisions in that era?
Absolutely. The point is that it was representative of the Southeast wedge with, as Mayor Gantt put it, one token black guy from the other parts of the community. And yes, think of all the voices that never were heard or never had an opportunity. And so Charlotte probably wasn't as good as it could have been had it been even more inclusive in those times. And I think we've recognized that now. However, I will say that learning about Bill Lee and Rolf Neal and Ed Crutchfield and Hugh McCall, the points made several times in the movie by several people that they were very open to new ideas, that they themselves, while being essentially all white males, did understand that they didn't have a monopoly on good ideas.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
That's Mark Etheridge, the producer of Making Modern Charlotte. The documentary airs tomorrow night on PBS Charlotte.